service to the public and causes can be achieved in several ways. My first guest today chose the political platform in his desire to serve the people of New Jersey, as well as important issues. His time in local politics led him to Congress for 15 years, where he represented New Jersey in the House. Then in 1990, he became governor of New Jersey. While his accomplishments are many, which still stand today in a variety of ways, he also became known for the pushback by those who were opposed to his efforts that was created. He writes about all this in his new autobiography, Standing on Principle, Lessons Learned in Public Life. Today, he heads the New Jersey law firm Florio Perucci, Steinhardt and Capelli. He also teaches. In addition to that, Governor James Florio. Thanks for being here today, Governor.
It's my pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
And learn more about the governor's law firm. It is floriolaw.com. And again, his book is Standing on Principle, Lessons Learned in Public Life. And as far as that public life, when it was still your private life, what part of your upbringing do you think became the strongest part of your life foundation, which led you to succeed as you did later on?
Well, I guess values that I learned from my parents, discipline, self-discipline, and being willing to go after things that are not easy to go after, accepting a challenge and doing your best to try to meet it. My father was a very hard worker. He worked in the Brooklyn Navy Yard and as a shipyard worker, and I guess I inherited a sense of industriousness from him.
And not to be slight or anything, probably that desire to attain the unattainable might have come from your dad, too, given his time with the Daily Racing Form.
It's true. My father really adhered to the racetracks. He loved them much. And I guess from my mother, I inherited a love of books and learning, and that stood me in fairly good stead as well.
You can certainly change things in a variety of ways, take different paths, service organizations, courtrooms, or politics. Why did you decide the best way for you to make an impact and things you cared about was going to be through politics?
I was inspired by a teacher that I had in graduate school, someone named Richard Neustadt, who was a very prominent political scientist, writing about the presidency. He had just come back from President Kennedy's administration, and I was in graduate school at Columbia, and frankly, he inspired me. 15 years later, after I became a congressman, I ran into him, and I told him that he had inspired me, and he seemed to be fairly pleased about that. So I think both of us got a lot out of the relationship.
As I mentioned in the intro, and certainly a lot of people remember, you served both in the U.S. House and then as governor of New Jersey. Did one prepare you for the other, or are they two totally separate experiences that just exist in their own separate worlds?
Well, the term I spent in Congress, I was actually in Congress for 16 years. I learned a lot about the legislative process, how to get things done. And when I became governor, I understood the legislative process. I think many governors who get elected don't have a full understanding of the complexities of passing laws. I didn't have to spend too much time learning it because I had already learned it in Congress. So it was extremely helpful.
Former New Jersey Governor James Florio, his new book, Standing on Principle, Lessons Learned in Public Life, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So reading as I did Standing on Principle, that congressional experience, was that a key in helping you overcome the, I mean, today we see obstruction. That's a big political strategy. You had a Republican state house, and you obviously a Democrat, and I was reading some of the stories. You know, for example, you and Donald D. Francesco were New Jersey's version of Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich in a variety of ways.
That's true. Again, and one of the themes of the book is that there's a need for more collegiality and more civility in the whole political process. It's become so polarized that it's almost not recognizable by people who have served in the past. I got along very well with some of the Democratic people and the Republican people collaborating together, and I tried to facilitate that. As a result of that, we got a lot of things done. Particularly in Washington, the change has been dramatic.
And you were certainly, I mean, today again, too, it's party before principle, and this goes for both sides, unfortunately, but there were times where you looked at the policy and the principle as the priority. Welfare reform, for example, you were running completely against the Democrats on that issue. You were siding the Republicans, but you saw it as a necessary action a deed that needed to be done.
Well, it's a good example of how it is you have to explain things in some detail. Many people, you talk about welfare reform, they have punitive motivations. They want to punish people for being on welfare. On the other side of the spectrum, you have people who want to just give things to people with no responsibility. What we try to do is talk about welfare reform as helping people get job skills, get into positions of authority so they can manage their own lives. And yet at the same time, we wanted to give them sufficient aid to be self-sufficient. So we had expanding health care for people on Medicaid who got, or on welfare rather, who got a job. So we tried to make it enhancing to someone, making them better off as a result of getting on and off welfare rather than being punitive or just overly lax.
You certainly put a focus on environmental issues, both in Congress as well as governor of New Jersey. And certainly in that era before you came to power in New Jersey, the Garden State was easily going to become the toxic brown state if something didn't change. Do you believe you just changed laws, or did you, were you able to also change how people thought about the environment?
Well, I think it's the latter. We clearly worked very hard to convey the common sense observation that there's nothing much more important than clean water, clean air, and a clean place to live and to work. And what we did is try to change that by going out and talking with people, getting people engaged in the process and informed about what the options are, what the alternatives are. And maybe some of your listeners may not remember, but there will be people who remember the 1980s when the Jersey Shore was closed as much as it was open. Hypodermic needles were found on the beach. Garbage was put into the ocean in New York and came to New Jersey. We had sewage sludge. The beach was a horror story. I came into office and we created an environmental prosecutor. We had a Clean Water Enforcement Act. We created penalties for people who polluted. We had policies that said the polluter should pay, not the general taxpayer. And as a result of all of those types of things, I think we have seen a quantum leap into a whole different era where people are no longer oblivious to the consequences of pollution.
Now, you certainly were not the first New Jersey governor to raise taxes, but you certainly caught probably a significant above-average amount of heat for doing it, to the point where a whole new radio station and radio format and FM was created. I guess...
Well, that's a form of job creation that I'm really not enthusiastic about.
Well, you kept Jim Gerhard employed for a couple more decades after all those years in New York, but... I guess the layperson always couldn't understand why raise taxes instead of cutting spending, because they look at their home budget and they say, okay, we're running out of money, then okay, we're not going to spend anymore.
Well, the irony, of course, is that what we did was raise taxes, but we also cut programs. So one day I would have demonstrations outside lamenting the cutting of programs. The next day we'd have people outside lamenting the raising of taxes. Sometimes you can't please everybody. And there are other times when you can't please anybody.
Yeah.
But the answer is common sense. Nothing is for nothing, and you get what you pay for. So what we did is we did raise taxes. The income tax was raised on about 17% of the people in the state. 83% of the people paid nothing. And every single penny of that money went to property tax relief in the form of school assistance. The Supreme Court of New Jersey came down and ordered us to fund schools by state revenues, and that's really what we had to do.
Wrapping our time with... Yes.
Incidentally, one of the things that's kind of important is that I was the last governor to fully fund the pension system. After I left office, all the governors, right until the present time, Democrats and Republicans, didn't fund the pension system because they didn't want to go raise the money to do that. As a result, the pension system in New Jersey is about $60 billion short.
Yeah, there's a lot of catching up to do, which, given the revenue and various economic situations, a tough mountain to climb would be the understatement. We're wrapping up our time with former Governor James Florio, his book, Standing on Principle, Lessons Learned in Public Life. You start your book off with a focus on gun laws, which is timely given the current debate on that issue. As a governor as well as a lawyer, does the Second Amendment have a red line?
The Second Amendment, as with all amendments, the First Amendment and everything else, all have the ability to put reasonable restrictions on the right that's given. For example, the old argument that freedom of speech in the First Amendment doesn't allow you to go into a crowded theater and yell fire. You can't use obscenity. With regard to the Second Amendment, it says that reasonable restrictions are authorized and allowed. And then, so the question is, what's reasonable? Is it reasonable to say that everyone who owns a gun should have background checks? I think so. Is it reasonable to say that no hunter or sportsman has a need for 30 rounds in a clip. I think that's reasonable as well. So vast majority of sportsmen and hunters don't really have concerns about keeping guns out of the hands of bad people. And you can't find that out unless you have a background check.
The book is Standing on Principle, Lessons Learned in Public Life. It's not just a political history book. It also informs you on how a lot of what we have today in New Jersey came to pass. And it shows you, yeah, it does show you politics the way it was and is in dire need of being today. Just about 30 seconds. If today would be the first time, would you enter politics?
I'm not sure. The raising of the money is distasteful to me. And now it's apparently an absolute requirement. As governor, as congressman, as assemblyman, I never got on the phone and made calls to people to ask them for money. Always had a little committee if somebody would do it. But now political people are required to get on the phone and literally beg for money. I don't think I have the constitution for it.
Standing on Principle, Lessons Learned in Public Life, FlorioLaw.com is the governor's law firm, Florio Perucci, Steinhardt and Capelli. He also teaches, and Governor, you're going to teach many people with this book. Thank you for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.